Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast on the 1st of September 2023. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Coming up today, Eric Pfeiffer on the news, including a preview of the new Purdue Crop Chat podcast and the current state of the Indiana soybean crop, along with C.J. Miller's story on a reopening for one of the state's ethanol plants. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says no change in the weather and the markets yesterday lower. Mike Silver is here with market analysis on the Hat Morning Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
A critical time for soybeans and an Indiana ethanol plant reopened. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Monday's USDA Crop Progress Report put Indiana soybeans at 70% good to excellent, a 2% increase from the prior week despite the heat wave that rolled through the Hoosier State.
Beans look really good, a lot of opportunities there, but they've got to finish filling. So these next 20 days are going to make or break that crop.
Soybeans, Sean Castile there from Purdue Extension on the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast, found now at HoosierAgToday.com. Castile reiterates how critical this time period is for these soybeans.
We've documented this. We're up to 3 to 4.5 bushels per acre per day. Hear that number again. We're putting on 3 to 4.5 bushels per acre per day during this high seed fill window. And so a lot of that range depends on, okay, soil moisture, depends on pod load, depends on the management to get you there. If you don't have good foliar protection, if you've got disease, or if you don't have the nitrogen supply in those leaves, they're going to start remobilizing and senescing. And so whenever these beans start senescing, we don't catch that top end yield.
USDA pegged the Indiana soybean crop at a record tying 60 bushels per acre in their estimates earlier this month. Castile says
some of the surprises that hit us with a few areas with white mold, some of the nitrogen supply that's hit us in the southeast, and we've got some dry areas in the northwest. I think we are taking a little bit off. I'd probably knock it back a half a bushel. I think I'm at 59.5 if I'm going to look at our forecast at this point. Even with, you know, like you said, we're up to 70% good to excellent on the crop rating. I just think that we're not going to be able to finish filling out as much as we could have if we had to go to nitrogen supply in particular on a lot of these highlighter green soybeans.
Castile has much more to say and provides some good-hearted ribbing to his corn colleague Dan Quinn in the Purdue Crop Chat, found now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Diesel engines can lose power and fuel efficiency as dirt, grime, and carbon deposits collect over time. Say hello to the future. Lasting power and performance are here. Premium Diesel X4 now includes ProFlow, a unique and powerful combination of fuel detergents that remove and prevent new carbon deposits from forming. Get more per gallon with the diesel fuel of the future. Get Premium Diesel X4 with ProFlow from Countrymark.
A Putnam County ethanol plant that was shut down 4 years ago is now back up and running. C.J. Miller has the story.
This is a big deal for Indiana. It's a big deal for Poet. It's a big deal for the country. It shows that we're moving forward.
And that's Doug Bervin, Vice President of Corporate Affairs for Poet, talking about the reopening of the bioprocessing facility in Cloverdale, about 7 miles south of Greencastle. The facility plans to be fully functional once again on Monday, September 11th.
That's when we're actually producing ethanol. So we'll be purchasing grain well before that. We'll actually start grinding corn September 5th. So they're going to be taking in a lot of corn if they're not already.
The facility was initially shut down in 2019 due to the EPA's regulations on the ethanol industry at that time. Bervin says that Poet has invested a significant amount of money to bring the Cloverdale facility back up and running.
We invested about $30 million to bring that plant from an 80 million gallon facility to a 95 million gallon facility. We'll employ 50 full-time folks there. We'll generate demand for about 34 million bushels of corn.
This is now Poet's fifth ethanol facility in Indiana, with the other four locations in Shelbyville, Alexandria, Portland, and North Manchester. I'm C.J. Miller.
Find more farm news at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers need flexibility, which is why Farm Credit Mid-America offers farm real estate loans with flexible options built for farmers. With a wide range of loan products and competitive interest rates, we are able to tailor a farm real estate loan to meet your needs. If you're thinking about expanding your farm, visit us at fcma.com/real estate to learn more. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup, there's no change in our thought process. We are rain-free for the next 6 days still. I don't see any precipitation showing up on our forecast until next Thursday, particularly Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening into Friday. I think we're going to be seeing anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch of moisture there, coverage around 60% of the Hoosier State. And then we're back to dry air behind that for the weekend of the 9th and 10th. But let's focus on what's going on here nearby as well. Temperatures slowly increasing for today through tomorrow. We're going to be hot and probably humid Sunday, Monday, and then we stay well above normal on temperatures for Tuesday, Wednesday, and into the start of that Thursday time frame. So I'm not saying that we're going to be super uncomfortable, but we are ratcheting temperatures up here over the next few days. Just be aware of that. Humidity values being low here to start means we have excellent evaporation potential. But even as we see higher humidity levels Sunday, Monday, and forward, we're still going to be drying down very, very quickly. Don't have much else for you for that going into the extended forecast window. I don't see much behind the weather system that shows up late next week. So, for example, we're drying down here the weekend of the 9th and 10th, but I don't see much happening to the west. So I'm looking for us to be below normal on precipitation easily through mid-September and potentially longer. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn, soybeans, and wheat all lower. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Settlements coming up. First, market analysis from Mike Silver. Mike is with Kokomo Grain. I caught up with him at the end of trade. On Thursday, the corn and wheat markets went back and forth, mostly, Mike, close to even. But soybeans, double-digit losses as the entire soy complex goes lower. So let's start with beans. What's happening there?
Well, in spite of the fact that we had a flash soybean sale today announced in the daily export reporting system, that did not offer much support in soybean trade today. We've talked about volatility all summer long, and it's still in the marketplace. The soybean complex, domestic demand, obviously good, but in our export sales numbers today, the old crop, we actually had 50,000 metric tons of cancellations in soybean export sales in the 23-24 number that came out. 1.123 million metric tons. We still lag the pace in both the old crop and in the new crop of where we need to be. You know, we've talked about our lagging export sales almost every week that we've talked, Andy, this year. And I said last week that I was going to do a little bit of research in looking back and looking at U.S. market share of the world export business for corn, soybeans, and wheat. And I did go back and look at into data going back to the Kennedy administration, and that goes back quite a number of years. The market share for corn this year for the U.S. of the global corn export market is 23%. That's not a good number. We have lost market share. You know, we used to be the number one corn exporter in the world, but Brazil has taken over that position. They're 32% this year compared to our 23%. So the U.S. is losing market share. Obviously, that has fluctuated year to year what that percentage is, but, you know, 23% of the world corn export market by the United States. We need to do better than that, if at all possible. And the soybeans, if I take a look back in that same time frame, the U.S. share of the world soybean export market is 29.4%. And we know that the South American continent has beat us out there for several years now in terms of that market share. And we've never been a real strong wheat exporter, but our share of the global wheat export market is 8%. Just a single digit, 8%. So as we look at our expectations for export sales and everything, we know that we're lagging. We know that they need to get better. We need to be more competitive in the world marketplace, obviously, to get that market share. And some of the other countries in the world that are taking over some of our market share need to experience some bad production years in order for us to kick that market share up. So that's something we need to watch going into the future years, Andy. And it's no wonder that in the USDA balance sheet, national average cash price projections, that we've seen some significant declines in the national average cash price expectations, especially in this 23-24 crop year that we enter into tomorrow, September 1st. This is the end of the crop year today, August 31st. So we need to keep an eye not only on what our export volume is, but in my opinion, what our share of the global export market is. So with that thought in mind, let me say that right now we have the market focused on the weather conditions that we're going through right now. We know that Pro Farmer Tour, the U.S. national average yield projection in the Pro Farmer Tour, and those numbers were released a week ago tomorrow, 172 is the corn yield prognostication of Pro Farmer versus the 175.4 bushels per acre in the USDA August WASDE report. And the soybean number from Pro Farmer was 49.7, and USDA in August was 50.9. Now, we have some moderation from the heat going on right now. It's a pretty nice day in terms of temperatures and heat index here in the Midwest, not only in Indiana, but across the Midwest right now. But there is heat expected to move back in when we get through the Labor Day holiday, and there's just not much rain in the forecast between now and the middle of September. And so the market is scratching its head right now to try and formulate kind of a consensus opinion on where the yields are. The general expectation is right now that the lack of rainfall and the less than ideal finish that we're putting on the crop probably has some negative yield impact for corn and also for soybeans. So as we go into a three-day weekend after we end trade tomorrow, and there'll be no trade, obviously, on Monday, Labor Day, it will be interesting to see how the market reacts. This is month end today, so it wouldn't surprise me at all to see us end today's session with some profit taking. And to come back to your original question, I think that's exactly what's going on in the soybean market today with our lower, we're down about 17 and three quarters cents in the November contract right now. But we've had some good upward price movement in the soybean complex. So some profit taking today, I think, is impacting the soybean market, and that's spilling over too into the corn market. And we posted a new life of contract low for September wheat futures just a day ago. Might have been 2 days ago. my memory's not serving me 100% here, but we're not back to that low, but we did put in a new life of contract low in wheat. The market is trying to decide just how big this crop is going to be, Andy, and obviously that's going to have price impacts. Right now, we're trading at the lower end of the recent price ranges for corn and corn and wheat. Soybeans, I suspect when we get into trade tomorrow and get back to a full trading session on Tuesday, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see some higher prices, especially in the soybean market, because the balance sheet is pretty tight. If we have an anticipation of lower production, we're going to tighten that balance sheet up even more. And with China stepping in and buying the new crop beans, that could be price supportive. So it's going to be an interesting weekend, Andy. Traders will be watching the weather. They'll be scratching their heads, I'll use that term, to try and come up with some yield estimates. And then on September the 12th, USDA will give us the September crop production and World Outlook Board reports. And that will be after they have actually, USDA will have had enumerators in the field looking at ear sizes, counting ears, making yield estimates, and we'll have more than just statistical data to support what USDA's September yield estimates are. So that's the next major news that the market's looking forward to, is to compare what USDA has to say about the yields for the harvest that's coming up pretty fast now as we move toward the middle of September in just a few weeks, and toward the 1st of October when we expect that harvest will be in pretty good swing at that point in time. So still opportunity, I think, Andy, but we're going to have to be on our toes to take advantage of whatever short-term opportunities we get.
Analyst Mike Silver at Kokomo Grain. Mike's number, 800-666-0613. More numbers now. The settlements from Thursday trade, Dease corn, mostly higher through the day, but finishing down 2.5 cents at 478 and a quarter. March contract, 494, 3 cents lower. The bean market lower all day long. November, 1368 and three quarters, down 18 cents, 17 and three quarters lower for the Jan contract, 1382. And Chicago wheat higher a good part of the day, but a lower close, 602 on December, down a nickel. Meat markets mixed. October live cattle, 180.82, up 77 cents. October lean hogs, 82.55, down a dollar and a nickel. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm radio network.